asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. U.S. President Donald Trump has canceled a planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. In a letter to Kim, Trump said, "Tremendous anger and open hostility from North Korea meant it was inappropriate to hold the meeting." Our Washington correspondent Harry Horton reports.
As the meeting drew closer, the rhetoric between the U.S. and North Korea took a cautious turn, and now Donald Trump has decided to walk away. In a letter addressed to Chairman Kim, President Trump boasts of his nuclear capabilities, but prays they will never have to be used. In recent days, North Korean officials warned of a nuclear showdown with the U.S. if diplomacy failed. But Trump has left the door open to future talks, telling Kim to call or write if he changes his mind.
International investigators say they have evidence that a Russian missile system was used to shoot down the Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 over Ukraine in 2014, which killed 298 people. Russia has always denied its involvement. FSN's Lucy Taylor has this report.
For the first time, the Joint Investigation Team has said that the missile used to shoot down flight MH17 belonged to a Russian military unit, the 53rd Brigade, based in Western Russia. They said they have photos showing the convoy used to transport the missile system and that every vehicle belonged to the Russian armed forces. They had already concluded in an earlier report that the missile itself was Russian-made and that it was moved across the border into eastern Ukraine before being fired. Russia denies that its weapons were used in the attack, which killed 298 people who were travelling from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. Investigators also appealed to the public to help to identify members of the crew who operated the missile.
Russia's EU representative has questioned whether Yulia Skripal was ever really poisoned. In an interview with a state news agency, Vladimir Chisov said Yulia looked almost healthy. Ms. Skripal was poisoned in March in the UK, along with her father, a former spy. From Moscow, Jessica King reports.
In a video statement from a secret location, Yulia Skripal said she felt lucky to have survived being poisoned. She added that her and her father, Sergei, have been through a slow and extremely painful recovery. But Russian envoy Vladimir Chisov said she looked great, and said although he was no expert, it looked as if there were no traces of a nerve agent poisoning. The Russian embassy in London claimed Yulia could have made the statement against her own will, and the Russian government strongly denies Western claims that it was behind the poisoning.
UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson has been tricked into a long phone call with a prankster he thought was Armenia's prime minister. The Foreign Office admits serious matters were discussed. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Rebecca Foster. Yet again, it's been an amazing day in the great city of Manchester. Glorious it's been. I think it's right across the north, west and the northeast of the country. Not so great down south, but it's been terrific. I hope you're well this Thursday. You've had a good day. It's the 24th of May, 2018. My name is Richie Allen. This is your Richie Allen Show. I've got two terrific guests lined up for you this show. With you for the next 2 hours, tweet at Richie Allen Show. That's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter if you want to join in. And I hope you do indeed want to join in. Let's do it then.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Lovely jubbly.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, Jim Fetzer joins the program this hour. It's been quite a while since Jim was on, academic author, broadcaster, and a kind of a doyen of critical thinking. Top man is Jim. I suppose we'll talk Skripals, we'll talk MH17. We'll have a good roundup of what's been happening this week with Jim. And an old friend of mine, somebody I regard very highly, Dr. Rima Label, MD, joins the programme later on. She's going to be talking about the onset dementia the late onset of dementia and what might be linked to that. This is going to be a fascinating conversation. We'll talk about her new book as well. And we're going to talk about autism, the history of autism, with Rima Label in the second hour of the programme. Don't miss her. And I already said the Twitter handle. Do feel free to use it. There's something you'd like me to ask any of our guests. All you have to do is tweet it and I'll gladly put it to them. As long as it's on topic, of course, because we don't have all day. So do that. Thursday's programme, then the last of the week. Glorious week it's been. Let's just get on with it. We are live on Fab Radio 2, which is in this terrific, this great city. FabRadioInternational.com, TriggerWarning.tv, TuneIn Radio, of course, where we've been since day one, and RichieAllen.co.uk. That is my website address. So you heard Rebecca Foster there in the news talking about Donald Trump and the Korean leader, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Trump has cancelled that summit, which I suppose even to a jaded old hack like myself, who knows better, or at least who thinks he knows better than the mainstream media, and knew it was all a charade anyway. I was kind of looking forward to it, to be honest. I think much merriment would have come out of it. But Trump has cancelled it, saying that the world had lost a great opportunity for lasting peace. He said this decision was based on the tremendous anger and open hostility in a recent North Korean statement. The North Koreans were pissed off, to put it mildly, about Trump VP Mike Pence and how he compared the country to Libya. Could you blame them? Anyway, in case you missed what the hairpiece, and he's got more hair than me, it must be said, Donald Trump said a little bit earlier on today, here's the Donald himself.
Based on the recent statement of North Korea, I have decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th. While many things can happen and a great opportunity lies ahead, potentially, I believe that this is a tremendous setback for North Korea and indeed a setback for the world. Hopefully, positive things will be taking place with respect to the future of North Korea. But if they don't, we are more ready than we have ever been before. North Korea has the opportunity to end decades of poverty and oppression by following the path of denuclearization and joining the community of nations. And I hope that Kim Jong-un will ultimately do what is right, not only for himself, but perhaps most importantly, what's right for his people who are suffering greatly and needlessly. If and when Kim Jong-un chooses to engage in constructive dialogue and actions, I am waiting.
Right. He did then go on to say that sanctions, and he uses these terms, this language, you know, the greatest sanctions, those will remain in place. Donald Trump there. So what's going on then, really, with that? What's your best bet? What's your best guess? Why would Pence mention Libya? We know that what happened in Libya was absolutely heinous, and that everybody involved in it, Obama, Hollande and Cameron, should be in prison for the rest of their lives. They lied. Gaddafi was murdered. Hillary Clinton laughed about it, thought it was hilarious. So why wouldn't the North Koreans be pissed off when they hear that? Why say that? And you know, you have to ask the question, because you can't, despite my jesting earlier on, you can't presume to know everything. Was Kim Jong-un serious about denuclearization? They blew up a nuclear test site today, didn't they? In the presence of journalists who were invited from around the world. There was a Sky News journalist there. Were they serious about it? Was Kim Jong-un prepared to open the country up? I don't know. I'm not saying he was. Don't say I am naive. Things are so crazy these days, you just don't have a clue what's going on. So maybe Kim Jong-un was serious about all of that. And if he was, of course, that wouldn't suit the Zionist neocon agenda, would it? Which wants to push us to the brink of a global conflict with Russia and China. If Kim Jong-un was to open the country up and dispense with his nuclear program and his weapons, well, you no longer have North Korea as a stooge, as a puppet to bait China with and Russia. Maybe, just a thought maybe. Maybe that's what's going on here, but maybe I'm talking through my backside. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? Tweet at Richie Allen Show. It's a puppet show. It's a charade. It is pure theatre. Of course it is. But as well as that, there are some very serious things going on. Why have they decided to pull out of that summit in Singapore? Let me know at Richie Allen Show. Now, here's a story that's going to piss you off. And it's pissed me off. Not surprised by it. This isn't new or news. But it did vex me greatly today. Every news outlet reporting this morning, the big story, the top story today, the taxes, as in your taxes and my taxes, are going to have to rise to pay for the National Health Service if the UK is to avoid a decade of misery in which the old, the sick and the vulnerable are let down. Well, I thought the old, the sick and vulnerable were already being let down terribly in this country. That's not news. But the Institute for Fiscal Studies and the Health Foundation, these are two think tanks, they have said the NHS would need an extra 4% a year, or £2,000 per annum per household for the next 15 years. It said, the Institute for Fiscal Studies, the only realistic way this could all be paid for was by tax rises. Screw Joe and Josephine Public to the wall even tighter than they're already screwed to the wall. Here's Sky News with a report on this big story. Not a surprise to the likes of you or me, because we know what the agenda is. But for a lot of people in the UK today, this is terrifying stuff. Sky News.
Welcome back. Now, British households might need to pay an extra £2,000 a year for the next 15 years to steer the NHS back to financial health. Experts say without a tax increase, we are going to face a decade of misery in which the old, sick and vulnerable are let down. Meanwhile, Sky News understands that hospital trusts across England are due to report a combined deficit of over £1 billion. Our health correspondent Paul Kelso reports.
The worst NHS winter on record exposed how the health service is struggling to meet rising demand after years of squeezed spending. The Prime Minister has promised a long-term funding plan in time for its 70th birthday. Today, a leading think tank says however big the present, a tax rise is inevitable.
If we're to meet the demands that growing population, an ageing population, increasing costs are going to put on the NHS, you're looking at 2 or 3% of national income. So that's £40 or £60 billion. In the long run, of course, you can't just do it through borrowing. Very hard to imagine you could do it through cutting a whole bunch of other things. So there are some significant tax rises that would have to pay for this.
Yeah, let me tell you. That, by the way, is Paul Johnson, the director of the Institute of Fiscal Studies. He's the guy who said that the only realistic way this could be paid for to stop the NHS completely melting down was by tax rises on, as I said earlier on, the public. Let's just hear the last few seconds of that report.
Historically, the NHS budget has increased by an average of 3.7%. But 8 years of austerity have seen the slowest ever growth of just 1.7%. Experts say meeting demand and improving services will cost 4%. Add social care and it could cost £2,000 for every household in Britain, the equivalent of 9p on income tax.
£2,000 a year extra burden on every household in the UK. We're taxed to fuck here in this country as it is. Every time you blink, you're taxed. Income tax, VAT, council tax, inheritance tax, tax on every single item you buy in the supermarket. It doesn't matter what it is you buy. Alcohol, cigarettes, petrol. Where does it end? Where does it end? That will break hundreds and thousands of families, if not millions of families. It will push them over that cliff that they're teetering on the edge of, barely making it to the end of each month as it is. that would finish them. And that is part of it, by the way, this Hunger Games society agenda. It's part of it. It's not just about the NHS being systematically destroyed deliberately, which it is, which again we've talked about a lot on this programme. The NHS will be 70 years old, by the way, on July 5th this year. It was one of the great human achievements, one of the most marvellous socialist achievements. Those who know their UK history will know, and I always pronounce it wrong, it's an Éireann Bevan. He was the health secretary who had a lot to do with bringing it in. And for listeners overseas who might not know too much about the NHS basically represents healthcare free at the point of delivery, paid for through taxation, and free for everybody. Every man, woman and child, no matter what their income bracket is. You don't have to worry about it. If you need healthcare, you'll get it. It'll be there for you. And if you can't afford to pay for prescribed medicine, you don't have to worry about it. It'll be free if you're earning under a certain amount of money. I'm not sure what the threshold is. It was a marvellous idea, an amazing thing. But it's been destroyed. Who's destroying it? Who benefits? David Stanford has just tweeted, you know, something about Richard Branson. People will be calling for Branson to take over. This is the problem, reaction, solution side of it. Of course they will. When something that's vital, when a public service, a vital public service, such as the NHS, such as policing, of course, is in disarray, is in absolute mess, meltdown, the term I used earlier on, people are more willing to listen to radical ideas like, well, let's just give it to the private sector. Right? So it's dreadful. The sort of tax hike he's talking about there is going to bury families. This fiscal studies Muppet Johnson. It's going to bury families. Destroy them. And the fact that it's even been mentioned and that it's been covered in the extensive way it's been covered today means that it's on the agenda. Probably after the next election, which will be sooner than we think because of all this Brexit nonsense. 17 minutes past the hour. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. When will people stand up to this and realise what's going on? Realise that they're living in a prison. It's one they can't see, they can't smell, they can't taste, they can't even touch. But it's a tyrannical, dystopian prison they're living in, where multi-millionaire fuckwits can decide to make decisions to basically condemn you to a life of misery and poverty. And foolishly, you believe that next time there's an election, we'll change it. Only to find out that whether it's a Conservative or a Liberal party that replaces the previous government, it actually gets worse each time. It just gets worse and worse and worse until you're left with nothing. In saying that, and you know, there was little or no blowback today. Maybe it's because of so many other things going on. Maybe it's because the weather's incredible. But where's the outrage when these people say, let's increase your taxes by 4%? Where's the outrage? There should be people outside Downing Street with pitchforks and torches to burn these fuckers out of that street. And I don't mean to kill them, but I mean to chase them. Get them out of there. When will people wake up to it? Madness. Here's a bit of madness. You know this Antifa group, these idiots? Well, they're more than idiots. They're dangerous, violent terrorists is what they are. They are terrorists. We've covered a number of occasions on this programme in the last couple of years where they've beaten the shit out of people who have just been discussing things at meetings, at open meetings. Now, look, you know I'm not a Conservative. You know I'm not a Liberal. I don't identify with any political group or movement at all. And I don't agree with a lot of Conservative alt-right thinking, but I will defend forever their right to be able to congregate, to meet and to discuss their ideas without people running into their meetings with balaclavas and kicking the shit out of them. Right, so anyway, there's an excellent report on RT today, a report by Peter Oliver, and it's about the criminal activities of Antifa in Germany. And what's extraordinary about what's happening in Germany is Antifa are openly advertising or are openly admitting that they are urging their members to commit acts of violence and acts of criminality. It's quite extraordinary. Have a listen to this report from RT. More on that and a little bit of my thoughts on what should happen with Antifa after this.
German anti-fascist groups have issued a guidebook for potential rioters. They want to encourage people to disrupt the gathering of the right-wing Alternative for Germany party in Bavaria next month. Taking a closer look at the guide this hour, Peter Oliver.
Alternative for Germany will be holding their party conference in the beautiful Bavarian city of Augsburg this summer. However, anti-fascist groups are determined to disrupt it, going as far as to publish a tour guide for those wishing to turn up and demonstrate that contains more than a few tips on how to start a riot.
We suggest tracking and exploiting the AfD's weak points across Germany so that we can guarantee the necessary space for protests in Augsburg.
It's a very detailed guide. It includes maps of where AfD members will be staying, the routes that they'll be taking and the best places to disrupt the event from. And there's also a section that includes rioting life hacks, everything the first-time rioter will need, like how to block roads, how to prepare paint to be hurled correctly. But there's also some more unsavory instructions as well, the best ways to burn tyres, to smash shop windows, or to burn cars, all without leaving any evidence that you were there, or, for that matter, being able to be identified on security footage.
Yeah, burn people's cars and smash people's windows, burn tyres, kick the shit out of people whose opinions you don't agree with. Now, I have nothing in common with, nor do I support the ideas of groups like Britain First, Jay de France and these people, even though I'm quite happy to interview them and allow them to have their say. She was on this programme a couple of years ago, Jay de France, and 2.5 years ago, didn't do very well, but she was on the programme and she was treated with courtesy, but I don't agree with them. But if you're going to prescribe Britain First, which the UK government has done, it's illegal now to be a member of Britain First. If you're found to be a member or opening a chapter, you can go to prison for it. So why haven't they prescribed Antifa? Prescribed means banned. Eliminate. If that's the case, if it's good for Britain First, why haven't they banned Antifa? Why haven't they decided or declared that it should be a criminal offence to be associated with the movement Antifa? Very interesting that, isn't it? You know, if you're going to ban groups because you don't like their behaviour, and when Jay de France and that dickhead guy that worked with her was screaming through the letterbox of people, accusing them of things that they had nothing to do with, idiots on a grand scale, I'm not sure I would have jailed them for that personally, but they've been prescribed. Why not prescribe Antifa? 22, nearly 23 minutes past the hour. This is Thursday's Richie Allen Show. Thanks for joining me. Love your company. Appreciated. Live on Fab Radio 2, triggerwarning.tv. Tune in radio and richieallen.co.uk. Let's have a break. You know, I was nearly going to play some music. I realised we need to take a break. Quick break. Back in a minute. And Jim Fetzer will be with us.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
25 minutes past the hour, an old friend of mine is standing by. I mentioned earlier on, he is a doyen of critical thinking, a professor emeritus of the philosophy of science at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He's an author, he's a broadcaster. I've been speaking with him for many years. Do me a favour, by the way, check out moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com. Bookmark that. And you can also read him at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. We're going to round up a few stories. Delighted to welcome him back to the show, our friend Jim Fetzer. Jim, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, Richie, it's so great to have you back on the air, my friend. Last time our conversation had consequences. We were talking about the Parkland school shooting, proof that it was fabricated. Since then, we've had another in Santa Fe. Also fake, Richie. I'm so glad you're back on the air.
Thanks, Jim. I didn't go anywhere. It was the YouTube channel that got deleted, but you're right. It was a conversation you and I had that resulted in a strike, and then they went back 2 years and they struck off a couple of other videos and deleted the YouTube channel, which was a shame at the time. But thanks very much. It's not going to prevent me from speaking to you, my friend, or people like you. Far from it. The platform is here for alternative thinkers and people with evidence that needs to be talked about. I want to ask you, are you following this crazy story here about the Skripals, Yulia Skripal and Sergei Skripal, her father, who were poisoned allegedly back in March by Novichok, a Russian agent? She's emerged and given a statement yesterday. She looks very well. In fact, she looks very, very well. We've not seen sight of her father yet. That story, Jim, has all the hallmarks of absolute false flag or fake news. What do you make of that story?
Oh, 100%, Richie. If it had been the kind of military-grade poison that they were claiming, they and all the animals, they had a couple of canaries and dogs, would have been dead. He wouldn't have been walking around, for hours. It turns out the patent for this particular poison was from the USA, Richie. In other words, the whole idea was Russian, was total fabrication. The British government deeply involved, American government, just more fake news.
It's funny that, isn't it? You mentioned the US government. We talked about, I didn't believe it when I heard it, because like yourself, I'm skeptical until I see proof. But somebody wrote a book, and actually the book contained the not only the ingredients, but the instructions on how to make Novichok. And it had been on sale through Amazon.com for a long time. It's the most farcical story, Jim. It's beginning to look like, maybe, I don't know what your opinion is on this, it's beginning to look like maybe Sergei Skripal never ceased working for MI5. Maybe he's still working for British intelligence. And this is about demonizing Russia. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's a highly plausible hypothesis, Richie. I think you're spot on, and that that the public is being played again and again and again. We have so many absurd developments here, including, Mueller bringing this lawsuit against these Russian companies for purportedly using the American social media to manipulate the outcome, never imagining that they would show up in court to challenge him. They've done that. And now Mueller is trying to avoid a speedy trial because they're going to gain discovery and expose the whole thing is just made up, Richie. I mean, he overplayed himself. This was a bridge too far.
Yeah, we're seeing it here as well. You're probably following the fact that the UK government is challenging Russian oligarchs in London to prove where their income originated. There's even a story here which is interesting. Chelsea Soccer Club, which is one of the biggest soccer clubs in Europe, its owner, Roman Abramovich, of course, is Russian, and there were reports that his visa had been delayed to allow him to come back into the country, because again there was questions over his finances. But Jim, that's very interesting, because I reckon the UK politicians and the US politicians are playing a dangerous game, because politicians, Jim, are filthy. They're corrupt and they are filthy. And many of these politicians will probably have taken money from some of these Russians or their companies over the years. So it could get fairly messy, Jim, for some of these politicians. I wouldn't be baiting the Russian bear if I were some of these guys.
Well, not only for that reason, Richie, but the Russians have superior military equipment to Americans, where the American contractors like to have malfunctioning hardware, because then they get these maintenance contracts that make them additional billions of dollars. The Russians, however, because their economy is sparse, have to be very efficient and effective. As a consequence, they have the best torpedoes in the world. They have the best anti-ship missiles in the world. They have the best anti-aircraft missiles in the world. If we were to wind up in a war with Russia, it would not have a happy outcome.
Speaking of that, Jim, and you and I have spoken for many years about the elite plans to push us to the brink of a global conflict, a third world war, even a nuclear war. What do you make of Donald Trump saying today that he's going to cancel that planned meeting in Singapore with the North Korean Premier Kim Jong-un? That's a strange one. I mean, Trump's supporters are scratching their heads, those who still support him. What do you make of that? What's the reasoning? Is it because of the Zionist influence on Trump's cabinet? What do you think?
Oh, I do think so. Yes, I think appointing John Bolton, who is a neocon, who is one of those involved in arranging, orchestrating 9/11 to create a pseudo justification for the United States entering these wars in the Middle East, which were fought to benefit Israel. In fact, we have new revelations and emails from Syria about, you know, Hillary acknowledging the assault on Syria, for example, is for the benefit of Israel. It has nothing to do with the United States. And I think this is all going to have, shocking ramifications. Bolton talked about the Libya model for North Korea,
yeah.
Richie. And of course, we all know what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. He didn't actually put up a fight. He was surrendering to a location specified by the Secretary of State. His convoy traveling under a white flag of surrender was interdicted. He was brutally murdered, castrated, sodomized with a bayonet. I don't think Kim Jong-un finds that a desirable model for North Korea.
That's a really good point. And the timing of those statements, not only by Bolton, but by Mike Pence, were strange, to say the least. Do you think, Jim, I mean, you and I, again, you know, we understand that we're never going to change the world through politics. The elites run both sides of the game. But I speculated at the beginning of the programme, I'm not naive, but I just wonder, maybe Kim Jong-un was serious about denuclearization. I mean, today, in front of a select group of journalists from around the world, including Rupert Murdoch journalists from Sky News, they blew up a well-known nuclear testing site. It seemed that the North Koreans were very excited about this meeting, really, you know, really interested in it, really happy to go along with it. I mean, Kim Jong-un had met Mike Pompeo. Those meetings had gone well. Maybe, Jim, he was serious, Kim Jong-un, about opening the country up and changing things there. But, of course, the Zionist neocon agenda, that doesn't suit them for North Korea to become, you know, an open society, because then they can't bait Russia and China by using North Korea. Maybe I'm wrong, Jim. What do you think?
Oh, Richie, I think you're 100% right that this is what is going on. That they're doing their best to keep chaos in the world. They don't want peace to break out. Trump, I think, mishandled it, because he has been looking forward to the kinds of recognition he would deserve if he were to manage this event with North Korea. But I would say at this point in time, it looks most unlikely. He's using as his flimsy excuse the idea that North Korea had insulted Mike Pence, the vice president, but it's clearly that Kim was distressed by the United States continuing with its military exercises with South Korea, and that even though we find South Korea entreating Trump to go forward with it, I think he's backed out because he realizes it's not going to work out. It's not going to be a piece of cake the way he'd planned, and that Kim actually is standing up for North Korea.
Thanks, Jim. I want to mention, by the way, moonrockbooks.com. That's one of the great publishing houses in the independent media, folks. You know, Jim is co-founder of Moonrock Books, which is hugely important for writers who have got stories to tell about some of the biggest historical events in the world. Accounts by writers that challenge the status quo and challenge established thinking. These are brilliant books, brilliant writers who wouldn't get published anywhere else. Check out moonrockbooks.com. You will find a book there, or more than one book that's of interest to you. Do buy a book from Moonrock Books and help support it. It's a great initiative there. And you can follow Jim. I want to mention this again. It's jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Jim, you've been following the protests, the righteous protests by Palestinians in Gaza, the right of return protest, of course, in the Nakba. And you believe, Jim, that the reported 52 or 60, I think it might be 60 plus Palestinians that were murdered, unlawfully murdered. You think, Jim, the number is actually bigger than that, do you?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Richie. No doubt about it at all. And I think this is a case where the Israelis went a bridge too far themselves, that they have committed a kind of slaughter against Palestinians who have a legitimate right to protest by massacring them willy-nilly. The whole world is opposed except for Israel and a few of the Gulf states, including Saudi Arabia, whose ethics and governments are tyrannical. There was an effort led by Kuwait, interestingly, for the United Nations Security Council to initiate an investigation that was vetoed by the United States. Surprise, surprise. But it carried over into the General Assembly, and now in a rebuke to Israel and the United States, the UN is going to launch a human rights investigation, completely appropriate, because Israel has been grotesquely abusing the Palestinians since the founding of Israel, and they have been, preemptively taking their land. I would say 95% of the land that the Palestinians occupied before the creation of Israel, even after its creation, has been absorbed by Israel. So now there's a tiny fragment left. We have the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, and this is an interesting development too, Richie. It looks as though Congress is going to move to give Israel the right to claim the Golan Heights, which in fact is occupied Syrian territory, because it turns out the Golan Heights is loaded with gas and oil reserves, Richie. How's that for a new development?
Yeah, it's oil rich, Jim. If that's true, that is absolutely dreadful, of course, and I don't expect there to be any condemnation of it by the authorities here in the UK. You made a very good point there. The Human Rights Council cannot be stopped by a veto. They have decided to go ahead with that investigation. But the Israelis, smug and smirking as they do, they say, well, we won't cooperate. And they might actually prevent these people from entering the country, Jim.
Well, they may do that, Richie, but it's just going to redound to, worldwide criticism. Pulling out of the Iran deal was such a colossal blunder. And it's very obvious, again, that this is a reflection of the extent to which the Zionists control the American foreign policy. Trump claimed he had three problems, that it didn't go on in perpetuity but expired in 2025. But that's perfectly reasonable. We could always renegotiate an extension. Everyone agrees the Iranians are adhering to it completely, even the American experts. In addition, he said, it didn't cover the inspection of Iranian military bases, only their nuclear. But the Iranian military bases have nothing to do with the nuclear program, where our own intelligence agencies all agreed that Iran was not or no longer pursuing nuclear weapons already in 2007, which they reaffirmed in 2011. Even the Mossad, Richie, came on in 2012 and agreed Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons. And in the third place, Trump is saying it doesn't cover the development of ballistic missiles by Iran. But why should it? I mean, Iran has the right as a sovereign nation to defend itself. The second and third of these conditions are clearly to benefit Israel, which wants all the information it can have in anticipation of a military strike on Iran. It's trying to induce the United States to take that action itself, which would be utterly calamitous.
Will it happen, Jim? Will that? That's the $64,000 question. Will that happen? The Israelis are hell-bent on a military conflict with Iran. You're right. They don't just want the blessing of the United States. They want U.S. troops inside Iran. Will they get that? Is that likely to happen?
I don't think it's likely to happen, Richie, but, in a situation of this kind, you can rule nothing out. It's very, very disturbing because Trump isn't showing the kind of independence that we expected from him when he campaigned as a candidate. In fact, the greatest attraction to the American people who supported him was he was promising to get us out of the Middle East. He declared that it had been a mistake to get involved, that we needed to reallocate those trillions of dollars to benefit the American people. Now he's increased our troops in Afghanistan. He's not relinquishing a role in Syria. He's even threatening Iran. And when the European Union nations are expressing their desire to persevere with the Iran deal in spite of the U.S. Removal, he is threatening them. Even Germany, with a gas pipeline deal with Russia, Putin has spoken out and said he will stand up to the United States against this gas line deal. What's happening, Richie, is these actions by the United States are creating a closer alignment between the European Union nations and Russia on the one hand, and between Russia and the responsible nations of the world with Iran on the other. All of it is unfavorable to the United States, which is becoming increasingly isolated and no longer can be regarded as a trustworthy or objective source for leadership in relation to any issue in the Middle East. Indeed, in my opinion, any issue in the world, when you throw in the botching of the summit with North Korea.
Jim Fetzer is our guest this hour. Jim can be found at moonrockbooks.com and jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Academic, of course, author, broadcaster, and a Marine Corps veteran as well. Jim, great to have Jim back on the programme. Lots of tweets on this. Keep them coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. I suppose, Jim, there can be no doubt now that Trump was the elite, the hidden hand. He was their choice all along, and we were all fooled into believing that they wanted Hillary Clinton. You could argue they didn't care, but if they favored anyone, it's looking now like they favor Trump. What do you think?
Well, Richie, I believe that Hillary would have been worse. She was much more of a Zionist even than Trump, in my opinion. She was responsible for the slaughter of Libya. She, together with John Brennan, then the director of the CIA, and Barack Obama, created ISIS in 2012 to put pressure on Assad and later to confront the Persian nation of Iran. Mike Flynn, interestingly, Richie, was at that point in time the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he opposed it. Because of his opposition, John Brennan recommended to Barack Obama that he should fire Flynn, which is precisely what happened. I do not believe that when Trump made Flynn his national security advisor, he had done anything even remotely improper. But the whole effort to sabotage Trump was very, very deep. It involved elements of the FBI, elements of the Department of Justice. Loretta Lynch is obviously one example. James Comey is another. Andrew McCabe is another. Mueller's whole investigation is falling apart. He's got nothing bona fide showing any collusion with Russia. And in particular, It's obvious that Trump wasn't involved in any collusion, Richie. In fact, two investigative journalists who followed the Hillary campaign published a book, Shattered, in early 2017, explaining that the whole Russian hacking meme was made up by Robbie Mook and John Podesta within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech in order to distract attention from the incompetent campaign they'd run, to divert from focus on the contents of WikiLeaks, which led to Pizzagate, where John Podesta himself is pedophile in chief, and perhaps even especially from Hillary's own entanglements with Russia, where she sold off 20% of U.S. uranium reserves to Russia for a $145 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation, which required the approval of Barack Obama. So I say, Richie, if Julius and Ethel Rosenberg received the electric chair for sharing U.S. atomic secrets with the then Soviet Union, what do Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama deserve for selling off 20% of U.S. uranium to Russia for a massive bribe to the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah, a story that's hardly ever appeared in any mainstream media news report anywhere, and it's a massive story. But Jim, what do you do? Here's a question, it's rhetorical, I suppose, as much as anything. You talked about Libya, which was, you know, a crime against humanity. And those responsible, Cameron, Hollande, and obviously Clinton and Obama, should be in prison for the rest of their lives. But Jim, we had the Chilcot report that condemned the criminality of Tony Blair and his cabinet in, you know, taking us to war with Iraq for no good reason. And then we had the Foreign Affairs Select Committee report into Libya, which reported in 2015. And that was headed up by a member of parliament called Crispin Blunt. And that was devastating for David Cameron. That report, which was a Westminster committee report, a parliament committee report, basically said that Libya was a complete lie from start to finish. The threat that Gaddafi represented to his own people was a lie. They deliberately downplayed the presence of jihadists. Well, we know why, because they backed those same jihadists. Point I'm making is, Jim, these reports come out time and time again and say that these wars were criminal, they were illegal, they were terrible. It doesn't matter, Jim. Here we are again in Syria. We've been in Syria now for years, supporting lunatic Wahhabists, the head chopping brigade, ISIS. It's madness. What are people going to do, Jim? Because obviously you can't change things at the ballot box. You know, we can make programs, we can make them professional, we can make them tidy and, you know, put them out there, but it doesn't make a blind bit of difference. What can people do to stop it?
Well, that's a really serious question, Richie, because as Cynthia McKinney revealed years ago, even our Congress is dominated by the Israeli Political Action Committee, AIPAC, yeah, where new members of Congress arriving in Washington are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States, where those who decline find themselves confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, or even that their district has been redrawn and they no longer have a seat. Cynthia was able to overcome those obstacles to serve 8 terms, but even someone as stunning as Dennis Kucinich, whom I regarded as the smartest member of Congress, was unable to. His district was redrawn. He did lose his seat. It's all completely outrageous. You can write to your representatives and congressmen to get on the straight and narrow to acknowledge the realities. But frankly, we're in a very desperate situation because the United States, a political system, is so thoroughly corrupt and compromised.
That's the thing, and we're seeing it here. And we've had a scandal, not a scandal, but we've had an ongoing, a never-ending story here where Zionist agents have convinced the UK media that anti-Semitism, a misnomer anyway, but anti-Semitism is widespread in the country and that it's widespread in the UK Labour Party, which is the opposition party at the moment. And there's been no standing up to that. You know, the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, has not stood up to it. He's just bowed down to it. He's, you know, basically, he's perjured himself to a degree in saying, yes, there is a problem with anti-Semitism, which there isn't. There is no anti-Semitism problem in the UK, not in public and certainly not in politics. It seems that there's not a man or woman alive, except for Kucinich and except for Cynthia, of course, and except for Tony Benn and others, but Tony Benn is dead now, and Sir Gerald Kaufman, who was Jewish but died last year. He was very much anti-Zionist as well. We don't have people in public life who are prepared to stand up and tell these people to, I'm going to use a bad word now, fuck off, go away. You know, you know, this country should be run by the citizens of this country. It's not going to be run from Tel Aviv or by the agents of Zionism, but it is. We don't have people to stand up to it, Jim. Outside of the independent media, people are terrified of breathing a negative word against Israel.
Well, it's just outrageous. In fact, Richie, South Carolina has just added a law. Fortunately, it's not yet permanent, but it is temporary. That makes any criticism of the actions of the Israeli government anti-Semitic and illegal. I mean, this is simply absurd. We're reaching a point where the Israeli efforts to constrain everything we discuss has become outrageous. We know they're using YouTube to dominate and take out all of the exposés about this series of fake school shootings, where Mike Adams just published a piece entitled "The Most Dangerous Mind in America," interviewed on false flags and extreme censorship, because he had noticed that not only were my videos being taken down, but videos of anyone who interviewed me was being taken down. In fact, you encountered the same problem with YouTube when you interviewed me about Parkland. Mike Adams did a brilliant article about it, and it's turned into a fascinating exercise because the discussion has been very extensive about Sandy Hook, where, Richie, believe it or not now, the New York Times has just published today an article about truth in a post-truth era, Sandy Hook family sue Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist. You mentioned my blog. I would encourage people to come, jamesfetzer.blogspot.com, where I have published a rebuttal showing that these lawsuits had no foundation. They were completely hopeless, not rooted in the facts, that we'd already established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, that they made up the kids using photographs of other kids when they were younger. Indeed, it's now turning out some of the parents used photographs of themselves when they were kids. Richie, it turns out that we not only know that Noah Posner was made up out of photographs of the fellow supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, but believe it or not, it turns out that Lenny Posner was Reuben Vabner. He was Michael Vabner's father. In other words, his whole persona as Lenny Posner is an elaborate charade and a fake. It's embarrassing. It's that bad.
And yet I've seen him do so many interviews. Now, I must point out to our listeners, the interview that I did with Jim about the Parkland shooting and conversations I've had with Jim about Sandy Hook, I'm going to say, and I'm never one for patting myself on the back or giving myself praise, or as the French would say, sending yourself flowers. But in those conversations I've had with Jim, I repeatedly put the devil's advocate side of things to Jim. Jim doesn't care. He's an academic. He's used to ideas being challenged and questioned. Rigidly asked him time and time again, but this person said this, but this person said that. That's the essence of presenting. And yet, even though we did it properly, those videos were deleted from YouTube, along with a lot of other videos as well. And yet you see this guy Posner all the time. Jim, let me just say this. If the New York Times is right and Alex is being sued, for those who remain convinced, as you do, that the whole thing was one elaborate production and hoax, that would be very good news if it was true, wouldn't it? If Alex was to be taken to court. Because obviously, if you are sued for libel, or if you are sued for, you know, misrepresenting the facts, you have the right, and your counsel has the right, to challenge these people equally as well in a court of law. So it would be a wonderful thing, Jim, for those who believe that Sandy Hook was a complete hoax. What do you think?
Well, it appears, and this is my great fear, that Alex Jones may be planning to take a dive over this, which would be intended because he's so prominently identified as a conspiracy theorist in the public mind, as a smear on all of us who do serious conspiracy research. You cited moonrockbooks.com. Well, I bring together the best experts on different aspects of these cases. Each of the books I've edited has 12 to 15 contributors. They're there on JFK. They're there on 9/11. They're on Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville. I'm now completing editing a book about Parkland, Richie, you know, the very subject you and I were discussing.
Yeah.
And it turns out they even sent the students home at 1 p.m. that day. It was Valentine's Day. That's why we didn't have 3,500 students there, why we didn't have hundreds of videos by students with their cell phones. They weren't even there.
Jim, just on that, I certainly don't want to be interrupting you or preventing you carrying on there, but I'm just mindful that time is against us. I just want to go back to Alex. And look, there's nobody more of an advocate on free speech than me. There are plenty of people who are equally advocates of free speech. I will defend the rights of anybody to assert a position on any issue and to give their reasons as to why they feel that. And I'm not patronising Jim in saying that. I have a lot of time for Jim, and I have a lot of sympathy with a lot of the facts that Jim has put in the public arena before in the past. I just want to go back to Alex. You believe, and I've not spoken to him for ages, but I've still got avenues of connection to him. You think that he might settle out of court rather than take it on and go head to head with these people and try to expose them, meaning that maybe he doesn't believe it anymore, or that he's just going to wimp out. Is that what you think?
I'm worried about that. I'm honestly worried. I have sent representatives of Alex mountains of information. I even previously published a blog you can find online, How We Know the Lawsuits Against Alex Jones. It's entitled Sandy Hook, How We Know the Lawsuits Against Alex Jones Are Malicious, where I lay out the basic evidence, including that we found the FEMA manual for the two-day exercise, which I included in the book, which I released to the public for free as a PDF when it was banned by Amazon.com, that we have demonstrated the photograph of the policewoman leading the kids to safety was staged, that there was a second photograph showing a lot of parents were there with their arms folded, hands in their pocket, while the policewoman rearranged the kids to get a better shot. We have 50 photographs of them furnishing an empty house to serve as the Adam Lanza resident, another 50 of them refurbishing the school to serve as the stage. InfoWars initially published one of our photographs where you see the SWAT team. I've been told it was actually the CSI, the crime scene vehicle, is there before the shooting. You can tell it's before the shooting because there's a string of windows in classroom 10 that are undamaged. After the shooting, they'd be shot out. The flag is at full mast. Wayne Carver, medical examiner, is there with his arms folded awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. They have crime scene tape up for a crime that is yet to be committed. Alex Jones, when the book was published, InfoWars, published a very good copy of this, which was up for 38 minutes. It had 178 comments already, but they took it down, no doubt, because the photo credit was to Connecticut State Police. The Connecticut State Police were running this up behind the scenes. They were doing the logistics. They were setting things up, and therefore they had to take it down. It's all in the book. Anyone can download for free. Just go to your browser and put in "Nobody Died at Sandy Hook" and you'll have your own available copy. Compliments of me.
Thanks for that, Jim. And I just want to point out, I have offered invitations over the years, you know, around the time I first met back in London when I met Wolfgang Halbig, and then speaking to Jim, I've extended offers to people in the area to say, look, if you want to come on and dispute what people like Jim have been saying, you can do so in an atmosphere of fairness and, you know, transparency. And I'll put questions to you like the questions I put to Jim, but those offers were never taken up. It's Yeah, it's, you know, if how heinous a world we live in if these events are being staged, as Jim passionately believes. And I've read Jim's book, and, you know, he makes some very compelling arguments. Equally, of course, if Jim has got it wrong, and Jim will say, absolutely, I do not have it wrong, but if he has done, imagine what, you know, the people must be going through. It's just, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare scenario. But I do believe, I've seen enough evidence over the years, that agents of the deep state do create these elaborate hoaxes, as well as genuinely kill people to blame it on other parties for agendas that are sinister in the extreme. There's no doubt about that. Jim, I've loved having you back on today. I absolutely endorse moonrockbooks.com. Do check it out, folks. There are authors there, learned men and women, who offer alternative explanations for many of these big news events that we talk about, and historical events as well. And I recommend you read Jim. It's jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Jim, 30 seconds. I'm giving you the final word, my friend, and thanks again for coming back on.
Well, Richie, I think you're a wonderful host. I think your talk show is one of the best in the entire world. It's a great honor for me to join you again. I'm very grateful for you bringing me back. And if people want to discover the latest, Richie recommended both Moonrock Books and my website, jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Check out New York Times Exemplifies Post-Truth Era by Declaring War on Sandy Hook Truth. It's stunning.
Jim, have a great weekend. We'll catch up again in a few weeks' time. Always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
My great pleasure, Richie.
Cheers, Jim. The lovely Jim Fetzer live on the phone to us there from Wisconsin. Jim's an academic, a broadcaster, author, and a Marine Corps veteran as well. Check out jamesfetzer.blogspot.com and moonrockbooks.com. We better take a break and move right on. It's exactly 8 p.m. as we do this live. It's the top of the air. Dr. Rima Labo joins me in a few minutes' time. Always interesting having Jim on.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today. Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's incredibly warm. It's very warm in the studio this evening. You'd never think that I lived in Spain for so many years and eventually became accustomed to the summer heat, which can be extreme at times on the Costa del Sol. Extreme, maybe I'm exaggerating, but sometimes it gets to 40 degrees, 41 degrees with that Levante wind, that wind coming off the deserts in North Africa, which is absolutely unbearable. That's when you turn the aircon on to 11 and pray for it to get cooler outside. But yeah, it's been warm and humid. The house, this particular house that I live in at the moment, that I've lived in since we moved back to Manchester, it's a very warm house. It doesn't take very much heating in the winter, but it means in the summer it's very warm, even though we don't get warm summers here. And the studio, while it isn't soundproofed like a regular radio studio would be, the windows are treble glazing on the in the room where the studio is built. So it means it's very warm. And of course, there's like six computers here, a proper mixing desk, and it kicks out a lot of heat. So I am sweating buckets, dear listener. For you. No, I'm only kidding. Not for you. For all of us. For me. For me. I enjoy doing it. So there you go. If I didn't enjoy doing it, I wouldn't be here. We're going to have some Billy Ocean, are we? Or are we going to have some Terence Trent D'Arby? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Terence Trent D'Arby.
Sweetheart, listen. I know the last few things is having been good for the both of us. And I've caused you a lot of grief. But put those bags down, okay? Before you make a decision like that, please just listen to me. Because I don't want to leave. I definitely don't want to leave. Just hear me out.
Terence Trent D'Arby on the Richie Allen Show, 6.5 minutes past the hour. Glorious evening here, Wednesday, the 24th of May, 2018. Looking out the windows of the studio, it's marvellous. It really is. Late spring, it's absolutely gorgeous. Right, without further ado, let's introduce our next guest. She's a genius. It's a word I don't use very often, and I've been fortunate enough to know her for several years now. A remarkable lady indeed. Check out drremaTruthReports.com. She's the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation. She's an MD, she's a doctor, and has been practicing medicine for more years than she cares to remember, but natural medicine. Wonderful woman. We're going to talk about the Definitive Autism Action Plan, which is an ebook that she's published recently. Too much of her resume and not enough time to talk about it. So let's welcome back to the show Dr. Rima Labo. Rima, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you so much, Richie. You're very kind, and you're probably exaggerating horribly, but I appreciate it.
I'm actually not. It sounds very sycophantic, doesn't it? But it's all true. It's not. I'd like to be. You could call me... See, I'm exaggerating or brown nosing, but I'm not at all. Your career has been remarkable. And there's so much going on lately that, you know, I think of you quite a lot when these medical issues and stories come up. And I want to talk about the Definitive Autism Action Plan. And I want to talk about, well, in fact, when we spoke briefly the other day, you brought up late stage, the onset of late stage dementia. I probably said that wrong, and that's fascinating. I haven't talked about that before on the program. Let's park that for a second. What is autism? Where did it come from? When did it first kind of enter our consciousness, Rima?
It's a very, very important question. In 1943, Dr. Leo Kanner published an article in which he used the word autism in the sense that we now modernly understand it. That is, a child or an individual turned to themselves, auto-focused, rather than interactive with the environment, with parents, with teachers, with playmates, and so on. And he said, this is very odd. These 11 children that I'm reporting on here in this case report publication have something that is unique and is astonishing, and we have, asterisk, we have never, ever seen before. And he said, all these children have been recently vaccinated. Gee, maybe there's an association that we should understand. Now, in order to understand why this article was not only important in bringing us the concept of a person so turned to themselves that they are lost to the rest of the world and the rest of the world is lost to them, which is what we have with autism. And there's, of course, a spectrum of the completeness of the of this profile. The most tragic is, of course, what's called frank autism or complete autism. And then a spectrum of cataclysm has been developed to account for partial expression of these autistic behaviors. And it's a behavioral problem, it's a neurological problem, but it's also a body-wide problem, it's a gut problem, it's an endocrine problem, it's a total person problem. Now, when Leo Kanner said, we've never seen this before, it's not like you or like I saying, I've never seen this before, which is interesting, but not really too significant. Leo Kanner was the world's greatest neuropsychiatrist. He was the world's greatest pediatric neuropsychiatrist. He spent, just before he published this paper, 7 years at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine cataloging every single known neurological function, dysfunction, disorder, disease, distortion, every single one. He had looked at everything that the neurological system can do and every way that it can go wrong. And he published a massive tome which cataloged all neurological dysfunction. So when Leo Kanner says, wow, I've never seen anything like this. Nobody in the world has ever seen anything like this. We have to believe that this was a new phenomenon. And when Leo Kanner, the world's greatest living at that time, of course, pediatric neuropsychiatrist, said, gee, there seems to be an association with vaccination, we kind of ought to should look at it, then some very interesting things happened. The world of big pharma and of big lies, they are in many ways an overlapping set of worlds, went into high gear, and suddenly it was the mother. Suddenly it was all the mother. And a Nazi psychiatrist named Bruno Bettelheim, who came to the United States shortly after the publication of this paper. He was a bad dude, but he became very celebrated. Gee, I wonder how that happened.
Yeah.
He leaped onto the bad mother bandwagon. These are older fathers, bad mothers, cold refrigerator mothers. It's all the mother's fault. No, it's not all the mother's fault. It was the doctor's fault who was vaccinating. We never saw autism before we started injecting pus and poison into babies and children.
Now tell me this, Rima, what happened to Leo Kanner? So Big Pharma went into overdrive, the Nazi psychiatrist, they blamed it on, you know, they started to say that it was natural, the mother. What happened to him? Did he stay vocal at that time?
He did not know whether it was vaccination, but he was a scientist who looked at the data and said, what's different in these kids? Well, their symptoms came about and these are older children, these were not toddlers. Their symptoms came about approximately 6 months after a series of vaccines were administered to them. So, humph, we really ought to look at that, shouldn't we? He continued to be the world's leading pediatric and adult neuropsychiatrist until his death. He was revered and so on. But the issue of autism evoked, as it did with Andrew Wakefield, who published a paper saying not that the MMR vaccine causes autism, although we know it does, and I'll get to that in a moment, but that kids who had autism had the same strain of measles virus in their GI tracts that's embedded in the cells of the GI tract that was uniquely in the vaccine that they were given shortly before they became autistic. He did not make, if you read that paper, he did not make a causal relationship.
No, he didn't. You're right.
With that. He simply said, gee, that's interesting. The virus has persisted in their gut. And I'm a gastroenterologist, and I took samples and I cultured what was in there. And what was in there was the virus that they could only have gotten from the MMR vaccine. And of course, we know the rest of the story. The big pharma, big lies machine with Rupert Murdoch, whose son sits on the board of GlaxoSmithKline and so on, they went into high overdrive.
And Bill Gates. And by the way, just to endorse what Rima is saying, she doesn't need my endorsement, Rima doesn't, but for the benefit of our listeners, when Wakefield published, initially his peers went along with him before that pressure was brought to bear, the pressure that Rima spoke about there. Dr. Rima Labo, MD, is our guest. I have tweeted out a link to the autism ebook. We'll come back to that in a second. I don't think I've ever asked you this, Rima, but I'm going to ask you now. What about, we all remember Rain Man, of course, and Dustin Hoffman, and I can't remember his name, but there was a gentleman with autism whom they based the character of Raymond on, and he was high-functioning. How do we explain the high-functioning autistic who can do incredibly difficult mathematical equations in the blink of an eye?
Well, that you're conflating, with all due respect, my friend, you are conflating the savant, often referred to as the idiot savant.
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
and,
of course.
And the autistic individual. Some autistic people are savants. They can do amazing mental feats because they're very smart. And some autistic people are not savants. Some savants are autistic and some are not. The savant is an amazingly capable person, often in a very narrow confine of capability, just mathematics, but can't brush his teeth or tie his shoes, or like my son, who is uniquely enabled and gifted, and that's not a proud mom talking, he has the highest IQ that's ever been recorded. He can do pretty much every and anything. And so he is, and books have been written about him, actually. He's a multiple savant. And to the extent that the idiot part applies, it's only a maturational thing. He's getting better. No, that's a joke. He's not an idiot at all. But the point is that savantism and autism are not the same thing. There are some savants who are autistic, uniquely enabled artists and so on. But that's because in the autistic individual, some areas of function have been spared from the neurological and inflammatory cataclysm caused by infection, caused by injection. Let me make this very clear. Without vaccination, there is no autism. Autism is solely and entirely caused by environmental toxicity. And when you add glyphosate, Roundup, and other organophosphate poisons, by the way, I'm trained as an environmental physician as well as a psychiatrist. When you add glyphosate and other organophosphate poisons to aluminum, which is in every vaccine, and to mercury, which despite the disclaimers actually is in the vaccines, when you do that, you destroy the blood-brain barrier, the one cell thick functional membrane. It's not a physical membrane like a sheet of plastic. It's a cellular function that acts like a membrane to protect the neurological tissue, the brain. You destroy that, you open the blood-brain barrier, and you get chronic inflammation that makes all kinds of dreadful chronic things in the brain, and the brain is the control system for the entire rest of the organism. So it's no surprise that the endocrine system, which is regulated from above by the brain, is dysfunctional, that the gut, which is regulated from above by the brain, is dysfunctional, that the entire behavioral system, which is regulated by the brain, is dysfunctional. It's no surprise at all. And some people are lucky enough to have the sparing of some functions, but some are not. Let me ask you a question. For those people who are saying, no, it can't be from infection, from injection and from inflammation that we get autism, where are the aged autists? Where are the people when you were growing up, folks, who were old autistic people? Where are the people who became autistic preceding the current vaccine schedule? And if you want to know about high-functioning autists, then you need to think about what we presented in a 3.5-hour webinar, which is still available with an extensively referenced ebook associated with it, called Autism, an Inside Job. In that webinar, which there was severe opposition to our airing, all kinds of technological happenstances that are impossible unless somebody's out there playing with the transmission system, but we did manage to get it out. In that, we presented a statement, for instance, by a member of the House of Lords, Larry Friend, your House of Lords. You might disclaim it, Richie, but, you know, it's the one that you've got. We in the United States have the spineless, gutless, worthless Congress of the United States. You have your analog on your island. But the point is that Lord Larry Friend made a statement, which is an official part of the proceedings of the House of Lords, that the ideal worker was a high-functioning autistic person because he was docile, he loved routine, he followed orders, he could be paid at pence on the pound because he was a disabled person. He didn't have the social skills to combine with others, to make trouble, to unionize, to protest poor working conditions. He was interchangeable, and there were an endless supply of them, in addition to which they had reduced fertility. And he made this point quite clearly. The great corporations of the world, Microsoft, Vodafone, SAP, and the other monster corporations, vie for autistic, high-functioning autistic workers. They are the perfect workers. Now, fast forward, or fast backward, if you like, to 2002, when a head of state was my patient in my office in New York. I can't tell you who she was.
Yeah, of course.
And she
yeah.
said to me that it was almost time for the great culling to begin. I said, the what? She said, the great culling. I said, I know the word. What are you talking about? The culling of the useless eaters. And I've told this story before.
Yeah,
how many useless eaters do you intend to? Oh, that's us, of course.
Yeah.
How many of us do you intend to cull? 90%. Well, how is that going to work? To truncate the discussion, to get to the part that's relevant here, she said, there will be us at the top, the neo-aristocrats, around us our servants and servitors, and below them our technicians, and that requires only 10% of the world's population. The technicians, I submit to you, are the high-functioning autistic workers who are bright, who are diligent, and who had the characteristics that Lord Larry Friend made so clear.
Described. Now, let me ask you this, Rima.
Let me just add one thing.
Yeah, because I've got a really important question.
The
go
vaccine,
ahead.
This is tremendously important, Richie. Forgive me for interrupting you.
Oh, go ahead.
Forgive me. The vaccine schedule is being tweaked, according to Dr. Paul G. King and me and some other people, is being tweaked in order to produce the maximum number of high-functioning autistic individuals. A recent study about 6 months ago looked at several hundred vaccine samples, and all but one animal vaccine had glyphosate, an unlabeled ingredient.
Carcinogen.
Roundup added to them along with the aluminum to damage the blood-brain barrier and potentiate the high-functioning autistic population. Dr. Stephanie Senep of MIT, full professor at MIT, estimates that by 2020, which is not so long from now, one child in two will be autistic. Autism occurs only because of vaccination.
Because of
and one more thing, in 1922, Nobel Prize winner in mathematics and monster Fabian socialist Bertrand Russell said, and I quote, "By injection, injunction, and indoctrination, it will be impossible for the man, for the ordinary man of the future to have an independent thought."
That's absolutely right. I can't argue with that. I do want to ask you one question, though I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you. You said that these blue chip companies were actively recruiting high-functioning autistic people. Is there documentary evidence of that, Rima?
Yes. And we presented it in our 3.5-hour webinar, Autism and Inside Job, in which we made these correlations and showed advertisements from these companies and statements and lovely public service announcements about what a wonderful thing they, including Bill Gates, of course, were doing for the autistic population, which is called creating them and hiring.
Wow. Do you know, yeah.
Enslaving them. You have to. Yes, of course. I make none of these claims without documentation. I will make a strong differentiation always, Richie, between what I know, because I have documentation for it, and what I believe.
And what you suspect. And I'm well aware of that. We have people joining us from all over the world at times. They don't know about these subjects, so on
Certainly.
Their behalf, you know, you have people sitting there, will he challenge her assertion? Well, I will. Of course, I'll always challenge our guest. Dr. Rima Lebo is our guest, and you can go to drrimatruthreports.com. I've tweeted a link out to the autism ebook. We will come to that. Talk to me about dementia as late onset autism. There is an epidemic of dementia. Nobody can deny that. The mainstream media will talk about it almost on a monthly basis. They won't, of course, delve into the causation of it, but they say it's an epidemic. So dementia as late onset autism. Over to you.
For a very long time, it's been known that Alzheimer's, which was virtually unknown when we were children, you and I, Richie.
Yeah.
Virtually unknown. Alzheimer's disease and dementia happened to old people, but it happened rarely. In fact, I want to point out that by definition, when I was in medical school and I graduated in 1970, which I'm happy to say is still within living memory, when I was in medical school and when I was in training, by definition, Alzheimer's could not be diagnosed in someone younger than 65. At this point in my practice, I treated a brother and sister, 17 and 18 years old, with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's has been known for many, many, many years to be directly related to the presence of aluminum in the brain, which means that the blood-brain barrier, designed to keep out toxins, has been compromised, and the presence of aluminum itself compromises the blood-brain barrier, especially with the things that are added to food and to the environment, like glyphosate, Monsanto's Roundup, and many other things. So why has dementia, which is generically referred to as Alzheimer's. You cannot diagnose Alzheimer's without a brain biopsy or an autopsy. So anybody who gets dementia is said incorrectly to have Alzheimer's. What they have is senile dementia. And it's younger and younger. We're seeing it in premenopausal women. Why, and men. Why? Well, all men are premenopausal, but you know what I mean, younger men. Why are we seeing it? It is my contention that it's because the blood-brain barrier is being intentionally damaged. And with that, the aluminum, the mercury, which is in adult vaccines without any demur by the manufacturers, and the fact that you're injecting things that are going to cause a profound inflammatory response, the vaccines that are being ramped up for adults, you have to have a pertussis vaccine. If you have a grandchild that you want to go see, you have to have a flu vaccine every year. You have to have this. You have to have herpes zoster. You have to have the other thing. All these vaccines are creating an inflammatory brain response, which in children is diagnosed as autism, and in adults is diagnosed as senile dementia / Alzheimer's. I believe that senile dementia is late onset adult autism. I believe that I'm the only person to have so said, but in 5 years, it'll be in the British Medical Journal in The Lancet, and somebody will say, wow, look at that. Symptoms are the same. What they won't say, unless we do our job as people spreading this information into the environment, is, and it's caused by the same thing, vaccines and environmental toxins, which act upon the vulnerability created by the vaccines themselves. There is no doubt in my mind. I have written a book called The Definitive Autism Action Plan for families to help retrieve their autistic children. I said earlier in the show, where are the elderly autistic? And the answer is they're in nursing homes with dementia. But they didn't get there by having a life process of starting out autistically, genetically. It's not genetic. It's epigenetic. We change the surrounding of the genes, and then we change the genes. It's a genetic damage if it is genetic. It is not a genetic cause. And inoculating, injecting pregnant women is a crime against humanity. It is a crime against humanity. Any pregnant woman who allows herself to be injected should know that she is participating, although well-meaningly, in a crime not only against herself, but against her unborn baby.
But of course, unless she's getting her information from people like yourself or, you know, certain independent media outlets, they're not going to know this. This is the thing. You know, we talk a lot about things on this program like bee colony collapse, where you have academics from some of the Ivy League universities in this country saying that, you know, bee colonies are getting dementia, bee colonies. And then they acknowledge that they find aluminium present in the bees, but the aluminium we say here, but they don't want to investigate further as to why that might be the case. And a strange thing, of course, as well, not strange to you or maybe to me, not that I'm a layperson, you're a doctor, but you have a situation here, Rima, where the World Health Organization in the United Kingdom and in the Republic of Ireland has demanded that health ministers come to the WHO offices to explain why there has been a decrease in the uptake of vaccines. It's just incredible. And people can't see what's going on. You have the World Health Organization, which is a revolving door for big pharma executives, demanding that governments explain why vaccine uptake is on the decrease. It's just, it's criminal beyond anything I could have ever imagined 20 years ago.
Let me point out, and you're absolutely correct, let me point out that more than 70% of the funding of the World Health Organization, which is a private corporation, comes directly from the pharmaceutical industry, which may explain that one reason that the World Health Organization never met a vaccine it didn't like, including the dengue fever vaccine, which causes dengue fever and which The Philippines is asking the manufacturer, which I think is Hoffman La Roche, if I'm not mistaken, to refund the purchase price of, because it caused so much dengue fever, especially in children. Dengue fever is a terrible disease, by the way. The World Health Organization has a stated depopulation program on World 7 Billion Day, some time ago in October, when statistically the 7 billionth person was born into this world. The Secretary General of the World Health Organization said to the Secretary General of the United Nations at that point, Ban Ki-moon, in a public ceremony, and I quote, "Now we have to get serious about population control." Population control means population elimination. And vaccines, including vaccines laced with abortifacients, which is bad enough, things that cause abortions, but also laced with something that causes a woman to never be able to hold a pregnancy again. She can conceive, the sperm can enter the egg and create new life, but she cannot hold the pregnancy because she now has antibodies against the hormone that she needs, human chorionic gonadotropin. Where did she get the antibodies to her own hormone?
Yeah.
In the tetanus vaccines that the World Health Organization delivers to women between the ages of 15 and 45, but not to men, although 98% of cases of tetanus in the world are in men. But they've created a completely bogus disease called neonatal tetanus, which they say women need to be protected against so that the baby won't die of a disease that doesn't exist, because not many babies run around stepping on rusty nails.
No, they don't.
Even in primitive birthing situations, they just don't. They're more careful than that, in the same way that not many babies acquire hepatitis B because they've come in contact with body fluids of other people as sex workers or nurses in emergency rooms. Newborns just don't have a good work ethic. They don't take jobs as sex workers or nurses.
No, they don't. Listen, we've got questions coming in on Twitter. I'm going to put a couple of them to you now. They're good questions. Rima's book, The Definitive Autism Action Plan. Go to drrimatruthreports.com. If you're affected by it, check it out. If you're not affected by it and you have children, check it out. If you don't have any children, but some job that you work in or some agency requires you to be vaccinated, check it out. The Definitive Autism Action Plan. Some questions have come in, some good questions for Dr. Rima. This reminds me, Rima, of when I used to work in commercial radio years ago. It was marvellous. Once a month, I used to have a doctor on to answer questions. I'm going right back to my beginnings now in radio. This is good stuff. Except back then, I was talking to a system plant, a stooge. Now I'm talking to a real practitioner. Liz says, Richie, my ex-sister-in-law had three autistic children. However, only one had any vaccines, as she believed they caused autism after her first child. So she stopped vaccinating after child one because she felt there was a connection. What does Rima think of that, says Liz?
I would have to know more. First of all, let me say that no one ever needs to receive a vaccine, no matter what the state tells you, and your children do not need to receive vaccines, no matter what the state or the schools tell you, because you have, under the Geneva Convention, informed choice. And if you go to drrimatruthreports.com and you look up the Advanced Vaccine Directive card or any of our other sites, you will see that you have the right to carry with you or have your child carry with them a statement that it has international and national legal validity in 131 countries that says, no, I refuse all vaccines. So let me put that
out.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Now, the family situation with autism, I would need to know more. I would need to know whether there was, in fact, a true genetic malformation, which can happen, but does not cause true autism. Everything gets lumped into the autism diagnosis in the same way that everything gets lumped into the schizophrenia diagnosis, which is a wastebasket diagnosis that can be lumped into it. So if a child is not responding correctly, they are said to be on the autism spectrum, which is the diametrically opposite reality from what the health agencies, CDC, World Health Organization, NHS, and so on tell us, which is, oh, we have more autistic children because we have better diagnosis. No, we don't have better diagnosis, but we do have people making foolish mistakes and calling children who have other conditions autistic children because it's easy, it's common, and they've been mistrained. Yeah. So I would doubt very much that the other children are in fact truly autistic, but I would need
to know a bit more, right? Got to say this to you now. I'm going to contradict you, not on that, but on something you said about asserting you're right. Legally, you are right, of course. I can't challenge you. However, in practice, do you know what we're seeing here, Rima? And I interview these people. We are seeing people having their children taken away from them and put in care because
of... Yes, I know. And that's happening in the United States,
terrible.
Too. The reason is because they're acting by onesies and twosies. We need a mass protective action that says, not only not my kid, but not his kid, not her kid, not the other person's kid. Parental rights are real. I have the right under the international law and under national law, which is superseded by the international law. And by God, I will go to court. By God, we will have a class action, including all 1,656 people in this district, et cetera. If we stay individualized, we are targeted and we are damaged
easy
as individuals. This requires collective action. And we have, for better or worse, Cambridge Analytica or not, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Mind, we have MeWe, we have social media, which they intended to use to control us, to which my response is, thank you so much for creating this organizational system with which we can control you, you bastards.
Yeah, too right, Rima, absolutely right. Tell me this, in your career, throughout your career, from the time you began studying till the time you graduated, all the years you've been practicing, not so many years, she says quickly, but the years you've been practicing...
It's lots of years. It's
a lot of years.
50, it's almost I'm proud 50. Of it.
Absolutely right. Is herd immunity, the idea that the non-vaccinated is a danger to the vaccinated, is that the most ridiculously stupid thing you've ever heard in your life?
I want you to picture a large bovine, a bull will do, and I want you to picture the rear end of that animal and the effluent that emerges from it, and that qualifies and describes the whole concept of herd immunity as applied to human beings. It is the veriest nonsense. Herds travel together. They are genetically limited. They are they eat the same food. They have the same environmental factors. And there is very little diversity among them. Now, I want to point out that scientists constitute a herd. They all run with their noses in the rear end crack of the one before them. And when the first one goes over a cliff, they all do. But other than that, human beings do not form herds. And therefore, the theory that was advanced decades ago and was disproven in animal studies, in veterinary studies, they don't believe in herd immunity anymore. It was incorrectly applied, misapplied to human behavior for the purposes of pseudoscience. That's vaccinology. There is nothing in vaccinology and in the immunology that surrounds and springs from it and supports it that is meaningful. It is all pseudoscience. There is real immunology, but the entire structure of the science of vaccines is what's coming out of the back of that bull. I recommend to you that you go online and you search for Dr. Rima India paper. That's a paper that I delivered in India by invitation to the first All India Medical Education Congress in Mangalore, India. And I talked about the fact that the science of vaccines is the science of religiosity, belief, but not scientific method. And I give a great many very clearly understood examples. And I also document, convincingly enough to have created a firestorm in India, that vaccines cause the diseases which they are designed to eliminate or mitigate. They cause the diseases. And I will refer you also, so that's Dr. Rima India paper. I will refer you also to the work of Andrew Maniotis, a professor of epidemiology, who wanted to predict outbreaks and pandemics. And so he figured out, by looking at the epidemiological statistics, that you can indeed predict outbreaks, pandemics, and epidemics of any disease. All you have to do is know where the vaccination program is.
Where they're rolling it out. Where they're rolling it out. That's true. Again, it's 15 minutes to the top of the hour. We've got Rima for another 5 minutes, sadly, before we have to leave it for today. Dean Smith tweets, this is good. My four-year-old is not vaccinated, but pressure is being put on for him starting school to be vaccinated. The thing is, me and his mother are far too knowledgeable and know exactly what to say to doctors and nurses. We get very little trouble when we point out the risk, says Dean. That's good. That's good stuff.
I'm putting a link, forgive the clacking.
No, clack away.
tinyurl.com/ABD card. This is a link to the wallet card that your child needs to have on file and in his backpack or whatever. And I tell you specifically how to use it to assert his right of informed consent. You might as well have one too for each of you. You have the right of informed consent. If you say no vaccines, thanks, they can come at you because the right has to be asserted in a very particular, legally determined format. And the card, the Advanced Vaccine Directive card, asserts it for you. It's simple, it's easy, and it's effective. They back off when you present the right of informed consent in the exact correct terms. Let one word be wrong and they're all over you and they'll take your child.
Now, I've taken that link, I'll tweet it out. Thanks for that. I'm going to ask you, and I want to just before I ask you my final question, I'm going to give a plug again to the Definitive Autism Action Plan. I have put a link out to it on Twitter, and I will see that it goes on Facebook, even though I'm not on Facebook anymore. Go to drrematruthreports.com, the Definitive Autism Action Plan. Check it out. Final question. This is an off-the-wall question now, unrelated or related to what we've been talking about. Do you know what's been in the news in the UK in the last few days? Would you believe it, Rima? There are actually questions being asked by healthcare professionals about the safety of artificial sweeteners, like aspartame and sweeteners like that. Would you believe it? Somebody's asking questions. Now, I know you know all about the perils and the dangers of artificial sweeteners. People obviously drink a lot of diet. You would say sodas. We would say diet minerals or diet Cokes or diet whatever. They're deadly, right? Aspartame is deadly, right? Or potentially deadly.
Many cases of MS, multiple sclerosis, are actually aspartame poisoning. All of the artificial sweeteners, sulfazame sulfate, potassium sulfazane, Splenda, all of them, with the exception of a non-artificial sweetener that is derived from a plant the stevia plant. Stevia is an acceptable non-sugar-based sweetener. Honey is also an acceptable sweetener, but it has to be raw, real honey. In the United States, about 95% of our honey is adulterated with fructose, which is very bad for you. It's natural, but it's very bad for you. If you have to have something sweet, use stevia. If you can't find stevia or you don't like the aftertaste and you can't find one that's pleasant for you, then, you know, just use a little bit of brown sugar and at least get some minerals with it. But, or maple syrup. Now, organic maple syrup is a wonderful sweetener. It's got all kinds of nutrients. It's balanced. It doesn't rip nutrients out of your body the way refined sugar does. Artificial sweeteners are deadly. Every single one. Splenda is, I can't tell you how bad it is for you, but they're all equally awful. So why are you drinking carbonated beverages in the first place? Do you not like your bones? Are you planning on getting rid of them because that's what you're doing? And do you really want to de-alkalinize your body when your immune system requires an alkaline environment in order to protect you from cancer and degenerative diseases, and your gut requires an alkaline environment? So do you really want to do that? If so, you really need some help. Go see your pastor or your psychiatrist, because it's not a reasonable thing to do. I don't care if you like the taste of it. You could like the taste of many things, and they're really bad for you. Unless, of course, you don't want to be around for a while, and you like giving money to the large multinational government corporation marriages who are designed to enslave and kill you. If you like giving money to them, continue drinking your carbonated beverages. That's lovely. You have choices, and the choices have to be sensible, not just impulsive, if you're going to be a conscious person. If you choose to be unconscious, then by all means, continue drinking diet sodas and artificially sweetened whatevers and the Krispy Kremes. Have at it, because you keep doctors in business. You have chronic degenerative diseases that you've brought on yourself, and they give you drugs, and there you are. You're on the polypharmacy merry-go-round. Have a good time.
Folks, for the Definitive Autism Action Plan book, go to drrematruthreports.com. Fascinating stuff, Rima. We covered a lot of ground there. Love having you on. Really do. You know that. And I look forward to you coming back on again in the very near future. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Richie. Can I say one thing very quickly?
You can, of course. Go ahead.
There are hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps millions of people around the world, who are being non-consensually experimented upon. They refer to themselves as targeted individuals. Our site, drremotruthreports.com, and our sister site, opensourcetruth.com, we are publishing a series of articles about the reality of this hidden form of non-consensual torture, which needs to be understood. Please go there. Please spread that information on your site. And please ask anybody who's interested to sign up at Dr. Rima Truth Reports for the mailing list so that they can get the information as we roll it out. This has never been discussed publicly by credible people, and it must be.
That's brilliant, Rima. Thanks. Look, enjoy the rest of your day and the forthcoming weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you real soon. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Richie.
It's an honour. Thank you. The terrific Dr. Rima Label live there with us this hour. Great stuff. If you came in on the end of that and missed any of it, the podcast of this live show will be online in about 20 minutes time, and it'll be on YouTube in the very early AM tomorrow as well. Great to have Rima back on the programme. Right, we're going to take a very quick break back then with some of your tweets, and time is against us. Quick break.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues, or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back to the program. Cliff Moore, how you doing, Cliff? Nice to hear from you again. Richie, thanks to this show and the learning that has come from it, my grandson will not be having any vaccines and is under the watchful eye of a homeopath. But tell anyone that, and the program is so strong that his parents are deemed to be performing child abuse. That's incredible. Tell people that you're not vaccinating and the parents of other children look at you like you've grown a second head. Now, I don't have that experience because we don't have children yet, but I imagine I would have that experience. But then again, I have said in the past, and it's not drama or melodrama, if we're blessed with a child, we will be leaving the country before Caroline delivers that child. We wouldn't stay here, because although there's no narcissistic truth or industrial complex with me, I'm not important. But I believe, because of my opinions and because of the career path I've chosen, I believe that we would be targeted. I'm sure of it. And I wouldn't give them the chance. We would be out of here at 100 miles an hour. And we're prepared for that in the future. That's true. Listen, huge thanks to Jim Fetzer and to Dr. Rima Label. Go to jamesfetzer.blogspot.com, moonrockbooks.com, and it's drrimatruthreports.com for Rima's website there. Terrific people. Whether you agree with everything they say or not, it's good to get them on putting their point of view. Jim is a noted academic, of course, emeritus professor at Minnesota Duluth, a doyen of critical thinking, peer-reviewed. These are important people, and they're saying things that are never heard on commercial or national media. That's why this program exists. We're not virtue signalling here. We never will. But, you know, I'm glad to be able to do it and to hear these people and what they have to say, because it's valuable. And everybody should hear everything. Listen to every single point of view and then employ your own intelligence. Employ your own reasoning, your own critical thinking faculties, and make your own mind up. It's as simple as that. I'll always believe that, you know. So there you are then. Looking forward to this weekend. My beloved other will be home on Saturday. Other half will be home on Saturday from her 40th birthday celebrations this week in Nancy. I've been that busy, to be honest. Of course I've missed her, but the week has flown by. It really has. It's been one of those weeks. It's positively flown by. Right, enjoy the weekend. Sunday View will be live on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. British Summer Time. And it has been summer-esque this last few weeks, in particular this spring, this late spring, May. Weather has been amazing. I know it's going to be good over the weekend, but I will be with you on Sunday at 11 a.m. British Summer Time, the usual time. That's 11 a.m. As I said, do join me. I'll be looking over the front pages of the Sunday newspapers and some of the stories inside as well. Thanks for listening to the programme. Thank you, Simon Stewart, for maintaining and upkeeping the YouTube channel. Going to love you and leave you with this from the Corrs. Little bit of Jim Corr for you, eh? Top man is Jim. And Sharon and Caroline and Andrea as well. Bye for now.
it's true. There's nothing like me and you. I'm not alone. Tell me you feel it too. And I